Welcome to the Startup Builders and Backers Show, a podcast which is part of the Tech Talks network. I'm Neil C. Hughes, and you may know me from the Tech Talks daily podcast, which covers a completely different topic every day around how technology is ultimately impacting our life, our work, and even world. But the Tech Talks network is a series of unique podcasts that drill down on unique subjects and showcase the voices right at the heart of tech startups. And in this series, I want to shine a spotlight on the energetic world of startups, where bold entrepreneurs and visionary investors come together and create the world-beating solutions of tomorrow. So the conversations you can expect to hear on this show will dive right into the journeys of those building innovative companies and also the strategic insights of those who support them, balancing the excitement of breakthrough ideas with the more pragmatic challenges of scaling a business. So if you're a startup founder, you get to learn from other founders some of the mistakes they learned and also some of the opportunities that they unlocked along the way. So I invite you to join us as we unpack the risks, the rewards, and the realities of turning those groundbreaking concepts into successful enterprises.
What does it take to build something from scratch and then sell it to a global technology company, while also still keeping that same spirit of curiosity and innovation alive? Well, my guest today is Emmanuel Perker, and he has lived that journey from both sides. He is the founder of Stratodesk and now the field CTO at iGel Technology. And he has spent decades shaping the endpoint computing landscape long before the term digital workspace became fashionable. And this week we met in Frankfurt at iGel's Now and Next event, an event where resilience, prevention first, security and sustainability took centre stage. But I wanted to learn more about Emmanuel's personal story, the story behind his early experiments, and how he grew Stratodesk into a major player in secure Linux-based endpoints, and why he believes that every great product must start by solving a real customer problem, not just showing off clever code. And he also explained how iGel's acquisition of Stratodesk felt less like a takeover and more like two companies finally coming together, united by a shared philosophy and technical vision. And I think that came across in our conversation today, where we explored how iGel's adaptive secure desktop and its prevention first model, and how partnerships are reshaping that user experience, and why technology should never come at the expense of the human connection. So if you're a founder or business leader listening, what lessons will you be taking away from Emmanuel's story and that ability to evolve without losing the passion that started it all? But I'd just like to pause for a second to thank our sponsor for helping me share these stories with you, because keeping the Tech Talks network running and producing over 60 episodes every month takes real support behind the scenes. And I'm genuinely grateful that they've helped make this possible. If you're building a startup, every second counts. And sadly, so does every breach. And the truth is, early stage companies are often the easiest targets because attackers know that their defences could be thin. And NordLayer gives you the same level of network security that some of the big players use, without the premium price tag or complex setup. And best of all, it scales with your growth. You can add users in seconds, protect your assets from day one. So why not secure your startup properly right from the beginning? Check out nordlayer.com/techtalksdaily and get 28% off with the coupon techdaily-28. So thank you for joining me here at Now and Next in Frankfurt. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
So my name is Emmanuel Perker and I'm field CTO for iGel.
And what I'd love to do today, Emmanuel, is take you back, right back to the beginning. What was the spark that led to you initially creating Stratodesk? And what gap were you originally trying to solve in the endpoint computing space? I appreciate it's a fair amount of time ago, but tell me about that beginning and where it all began.
Yes. So I have been in this space very long. Yeah, almost. I cannot say too long because I still love it, and also the way how it changes. But I remember the first beginnings how I got into that space. That was literally about exterminators. So if somebody still remembers that, it was about chip design software to run on an X11 terminal, which then evolved into, you know, more sophisticated, what we called back then thin client computing and so on. Over the years, it became software only and became a product and an operating system. And today, I mean, you have heard it, right? Today, we have adaptive secure desktop. We have BCDR. We have all these great things. So we have operational technology, OT. So it is an interesting journey. It has evolved a lot. There is always something new. Yeah. So even though it's a long time, I feel I'm staying young in all that and how it evolves.
So over 15 years, you built Stratadesk into a global player known for secure Linux-based endpoints. So what are some of the hardest lessons that you learned about scaling a company in such a rapidly evolving ecosystem? What were the big lessons that you learned along the way?
Well, almost too many. Almost too many. The one thing that I have always looked out for is certainly, it's actually three things: the product, and the product.
Yeah.
But so that means you also need to market yourself. You need to build up a sales organization. Building a company is difficult. Is difficult, but it's also different from building a product. And this is something every company, you know, has to go through as it scales up. So there are certainly setbacks. I always say, if you fail, then fail fast. Yeah. If you fall, then stand up. If something is not right for the market, yeah, then do something else. But the core promise has always been the same. We know the most important thing is to do something that actually solves a problem, a real world customer problem. I don't want to code something or have a developer code something just for the sake of coding or because it's so cool and it makes a cool demo or something. The key purpose is, does it solve a real customer problem? And so this is what I have done, what I have focused all the time, and what I have also seen happening at iDrill, yeah, being outside. I've seen that, and now inside I see this even clearer, yeah, this focus.
So when iGel acquired Stratadesk, it felt like a union between two companies that already shared the same DNA in many ways. So what was it that made this partnership feel so right for you personally and, of course, strategically as well?
Yes. So see, this is you worded this really, really well. This is how we also word it. So, of course, we were in the market competitive because we had similar solutions, went sometimes to the same audience saying, okay, this is my solution, this is the other solution. But ultimately, our visions aligned really, really well. And I would almost go as far as saying if say you talked to somebody from iGel, even though, yes, we were competitive, sometimes you had the feeling you just met the person, but as if we were friends for 10 years already, old friends, because we were aligned so well. So I think it was just natural that it went that way at some point, because we are stronger together. I mean, our CEO, Klaus, has made it clear that it's also about pooling the talent. He wanted to unify all that talent. I'm fully ingrained in the iGel organization now. I love it. People have been really, really friendly and welcoming. So it's wonderful to see the former Stratadesk team members thrive in their new roles. And see, as the field CTO, what I would do, how I would characterize my job, is I bring technology out to the people and ideas back to development. So part of the job is speaking, part of the job is listening. And the good thing is, iGel is big enough to be able to pull off amazing things, But in a way, we are also nimble enough that we can do these things fast, right? It's very, if you have a company with 50,000 employees, they are naturally slower, yeah? But again, we are big enough, we have this critical mass at IGEL. This is, for me, is wonderful, yeah? To be in this organization now that has exactly that critical mass that can pull off amazing things. I mean, you heard the announcements today, yeah? So, and if we just think about a few things, pulling off something like BCDR, that solution is amazing, yeah, with the dual boot. So if you think about the technology, yeah, what all goes into that. But the same thing is OT. If you have listened to John Walsh, yeah, it's fantastic. See, I'm going on too long because I really like these things. Yeah,
we'll talk about some of the things that you announced on stage today and some of the things you talked about in a moment. But on behalf of every founder listening, I think many founders struggle with letting go after an acquisition. So how do you navigate that transition from leading Stratadesk as CEO to taking on a completely new role within IGEL's leadership? Did you find that challenging at all, or it doesn't sound that way?
No, actually not. We have a lot of talented, good, motivated people in all segments. You know, as a founder of a company, you are ultimately responsible for everything, right? If you don't have a dedicated expert force for something, that issue that would fall in this area where you don't have the dedicated full-time expert, ultimately it falls to you as a founder. So that means you have to deal with a lot of things that are absolutely not in your expertise. Then, of course, you can have third parties, you have contractors. This is great. But with people you, especially things or people that you don't need every day, right? You don't need a lawyer every day, right? Maybe you file for a patent, maybe you register a trademark or anything. Then, of course, you go to some third parties, but still you have to explain what are we doing and so on. At IGEL, we have things internally. We have all these roles covered. So for me, as a founder, it's fantastic. I say, great, okay, issue X, wonderful. Here is a dedicated full-time person, yeah, who can help with that.
And the idea of designing the future rather than patching the present has also become a powerful theme here this week. So from your perspective, what does that mindset shift mean for customers who might be listening who are modernizing hybrid and remote working environments? I mean, you mentioned on stage today the contact center example, which was a great example of that, wasn't it?
Yes. So I see lots of what we are seeing today is tradition. Especially in end-user computing, things are happening the way because they have always happened like this. But if we think about it, there is no reason to. As you say, I like the wording you used, mindset shift. Yeah? The mindset shift is from that classic endpoint that is running a Windows operating system, that is running a certain stack of tools, security tools, right? The security guy says, I need these and those tools installed on the operating system. The management person then walks up and says, I need these and those tools. So every department in a company adds their stack, and then you have this machinery. Whereas with us, we have this purpose-built operating system, yeah, where security is the center, right? A preventative security model. It is the core foundation of how we develop things, how we design things, the way the manageability, the simplicity of handling it, of rolling it out. This is a new way of thinking. It's different than the status quo, of course, but it's a new way. And I'm glad I can be part of spreading that message. And it opens new possibilities. It definitely cuts down on cost, right? We had this study today saying over 60% on ROI. So There is a lot to it, and it's glad to see that mindset shifting. And also speaking about Windows, and we had Scott Manchester today from Microsoft speaking about Windows 365 and AVD, Azure Virtual Desktop. We, it's interesting, yeah, our relationship with Microsoft is a very, very strong one. We change the way how people consume Windows. Or we help Microsoft present Windows 365. Azure Virtual Desktop. These are the new developments. We see strong demand for these solutions.
And we will have people listening to our conversation all around the world today. And many of them obviously couldn't see you on stage. A very popular presentation. What was the key message you wanted to deliver there on stage, just for people that didn't get to see that? And feel free to use any examples that will just bring to life what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I like that contact center use case. And I only had a few minutes on stage. We had so many great sessions. But the one thing breaking this down is, In contact centers, this is about a human connection. It's two people talking. It's not just me with my machine, an office worker with her or his computer. It's two people talking, right? And that conversation matters, because think about yourself. When do you call somebody? When do you call that in America, the 1-800 number? When do you call? It's usually when you have a problem. And usually when the problem is serious enough that you cannot use some self-serve website, so you call in or you use the chat function, right? This is why we call it contact center, because there are multiple touch points. So you use one of these ways to contact your brand, your favorite brand, and you have a problem. You need it solved. That means that interaction matters. So this is a way more demanding use case than saying, okay, you know what, let's go and have a coffee while my machine is installing updates. This does not work in contact center.
And one of the things that went down particularly well was the ability to change an accent for when there's a communication problem. How has it been received? You must have spoke to a lot of people since coming off stage. What kind of questions are people asking you? And when you're having conversations with your customers, what are they asking for your help with?
Yes, so the partnership with Sanas is certainly extremely exciting. So the interesting thing is, with Sanas, we have this in our app portal. So that means it can be downloaded into IHLOS. Then it is a module of the operating system. And as such, it just works with any kind of workload, right? I don't need a Sanas for the browser, a Sanas for this and that. There is just one, yeah? And can be downloaded, app portal, can rolled out policy, your mess, then it's there and does its magic. And if we talk about powering that human connection, what is against that human connection? Yeah, if these people cannot understand each other, and the English language is used all around the world, right? I mean, I grew up in Austria. Yeah? My way of using the English language is different than your way of using the English language. So if we have some software that bridges these gaps, it's fantastic. The noise reduction portion of Sanas is awesome. It really, really works. So if you try that out, it's amazing, yeah? What you try making noises and how it filters that out and focuses on the core voice, it's amazing. And it's amazing to see that then happening in that endpoint, right? It's really happening locally. You got it from the app portal, and it's doing that. It's amazing.
I love that. And I love the line you use there, you're leveraging technology to power the human connection as well. And finally, looking ahead, what is it that excites you most about the next chapter, both for IHL as a company and indeed for you personally as a founder who now is helping to shape its global vision? It feels like an exciting time, but what excites you?
So if we look at what's happening today, and today and tomorrow, in these 2 days, how many announcements we have. Behind every announcement stands so much designing, thinking, brain power. And the work doesn't stop here. Yeah, we will have our next show coming up in spring in Miami, but we will also have announcements in Miami, right? So that means these things are already cooking in our brains. We're working about it. And it's so exciting for me to be part of IHL, because this is really innovating, right? Behind every announcement is an innovation, is some idea, something that's happening. And this is exactly what I like, because as I mentioned earlier, I'm a technology guy. I love the technology and I love driving this forward.
Well, one of the things that I was excited about sitting down with you today when I learned we were going to be meeting was just being able to share your entire journey that you've been on. And it, even though it has been a long journey, it still feels like you're only just beginning and there's so much more to achieve and do. But thank you for sharing that with me today.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I think his story there is a reminder that real innovation often comes from continuity, not constant reinvention. And his reflections on building Stratadesk, scaling it, and finding a natural fit within Agile all show how a shared vision can amplify rather than dilute a company's purpose. And the way he described his role bringing technology to people and ideas back to development, I think these things capture what great leaders in tech really look like. And what stood out most to me was this focus on solving real-world problems instead of just chasing trends. And whether it is embedding preventative security right at the core of the operating system, or partnering with others to bridge that human communication gap, I think his philosophy is grounded in purpose and practicality. And even the small details like integrating AI noise reduction directly into their OS, I think everything just shows thoughtful engineering and how to quietly improve everyday experiences. So as we wrap up, I think Emmanuel's excitement about what comes next for iGel felt incredibly infectious. And if we take a peek behind every product announcement, I think he said that the real design thinking and creativity at work, I think that's what really shines here. And maybe that's the best takeaway from his entire journey. From a small startup to a global tech leader, that curiosity never faded. So the only question left is, how do you keep your own sense of wonder alive as technology keeps evolving and keeps changing? Yep, this is the point where I pass the microphone back to you. Techblogwriteroutlook.com, techtalksnetwork.com. We've got thousands of conversations like this to inspire you, but I want to hear more about you, so let me know. But that's it for today, so thank you for listening, and I'll speak with you all again very soon.